I'm turning to the book of 2 Peter chapter 2. Sorry, 1 Peter chapter 2, sorry. 1 Peter chapter 2, and I'll read to you verse 1 to 4. Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings, as newborn babies desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. If so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious, to whom coming as unto a living stone, is allowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious. Our main verse is like verse 4, but to make it more, clearer, from verse 1 helps us. And this morning we are thinking about verse 4. To whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, by chosen of God and precious. Speaking about Christ and how and what he is to us in a certain terms, that which you have to look at this morning. So our subject is Christ the living stone. And okay, yes, I'm the FFP, Peter Bukunedi Kaino, and the team in which Jim, and nine, like I said. Yeah, some more comfort is to whom say verse 4 no extra mushroom. And before we come to our verse 4, this chapter, the whole book, and especially this chapter, Apostle Paul was encouraging the believers to continue the gospel, the truth of the gospel they have heard, and it was by the gospel they were saved. So he just telling them that by the truth of the gospel we were saved. And then desire more of the truth of the gospel so that you grow spiritually. As the verse 2 tells us, as newborn babies desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. So he compares the truth of the gospel, the truth of God's word, to the milk of a mother to the baby. And that those who are born again should desire. And it's one of the mark of conversion, if we have really come to know the Lord. Sometimes when we go to visitation, I will ask people the question. When they claim to know the Lord, they say, yes, I'm saved, I've gone to Christ. I tell them, do you desire the word? That how you desire your food, that if you woke up a day, you have not eaten, how you feel? Is it the same way if you have not read the Bible the whole day, you feel? And many of them will stand there, well, I read it sometimes. See, that's one of the marks. So Peter is telling them, and he can encourage them because these people have tasted what the gospel already, they have believed. Are the truth of the gospel, and they have saved them. And so he knows that they will desire to be fed more of the truth. So it is good to encourage them. You see, a baby sometimes may not want to feed, but then, so long as the milk is for him or her, it will definitely go back and feed on it. There can I say, Apostle Peter, now, start chapter 2, no, or share a jedi for no, in crying, so among Kosuna, and some panamon the crano. Omkosu no mo e de ensua no mo enjindi na meka se otumika se e chiro mo firi se omo aso nsempa no ahwe no mo hu se e yade a ehu hia firi na omo aji omo nkwa enam nsempa fa Kristo hu eno kure no eno na ma omo ba aben yakopon ne mba eno na ma omo ba yesterday obuti enti obetumi akoso aso mo Christ omo enji nsempa no endi If you say, I'm going to say, I'm going to say, I'm going to say, and I'm going to say, 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 and just before we go on, you know that if people seem to be tired of hearing the gospel of Christ, it tells you that they have never tasted of his salvation. And because those who have been born again, the truth about Christ is ever gracious to them. The hymn writer, how sweet the name of Jesus sound in the believer's ear. Wherever the name of Christ is sounded according to scripture, the believer wants to just listen. The American is a bit more wha in some partner of Christ, on my brain, I'm hard, Christ. And I'm because
And the church says, "Thank God for no among so Christo said your tear among in India." If you say Bible, him write a book on the church, I'll say, "Yes, Christo, I had the a toss to Emma or more. I didn't wait. Christ and all that about whatever we learn about Christ is precious to the believer. It's so precious to those who have come to know Him. So that if we don't, we just want to hear about Christ for some time, we don't want to hear about Him, then we should check our heart. Because if we live in union with Christ, we always want to hear more of Him. The American say, if I see it, say, you see your Christ no more, then they be even ya, and they just say, but you know what's them. Because we it is but I'm sure you know that nowadays in quote unquote the general Christianity, people desire to hear more about Satan, demons, ancestral curses, health and wealth, and motivational messages than Christ. But than the simple messages about Christ. Am I lying? The American say in the say the way Christopher, the people run from Christopher. No, I'm a person with here about some because if you turn to the radio, from Monday or whatever, the television, most of the messages about this health and wealth, about demons, and people are very happy and they are keen to hear. Interpretation of dreams and whatever. It tells you that what? People don't really know Christ. And many people love these things. You see, people just want to hear more about these things which we are not supposed to even worry about. You see, the American is there. And in some way, Kenya, me, Abuabra, and I could prepare some with Yomuka, sorry. Omuka, so nasty, and Kasan, Samuya, oh, and there, and call. And the Bible says, Oh, it is as almost, I said, almost, Sumi, or Mohim, Omu Pensam, or Momai, or Mother. They do know Christ, they don't love Christ. This message is, of course, we just need to know about Christ. All these things are nonsense. But that's what people are following. So you see, they claim to know the Lord Jesus Christ, but they are fed up with Him. They don't want to hear. If you go to a station, people want to hear more than the gospel. They want to hear more. Sometimes we say it and laugh among us. Because sometimes we meet people, we tell them, oh, I want to talk about Christ, about salvation, and oh, I don't have time going. But if we should just corner them and tell them, I have a vision about you. Oh, yes, they'll stand there and listen. You see? Because there are people walking about. There's a man in my area. They call him a pastor. In the morning, you see him holding a Bible, moving from shop to shop, and he sees people, and he blesses them, and people give him money. He moves, and that's all that he does every week. He's a Nigerian. And you see him with a Bible, with a suit and a tie, moving about, talking. When he meets you, he'll bless you, and then people, yes, they'll give you money. That's what people want. Go to these people and tell, oh, no. You see how people think they are Christian, but then they don't love Christ. But is it the same with us? But I hope that we are not like that. As Apostle Paul himself told us in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 2, he said that, "For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified." All the things about Christ and Him crucified. And all the message about Him. And that is what the believer wants to hear. Okay. So this morning I want to present to your meditation one of the gracious truths about Christ which Peter described to us in our text. And the paper said, Peter and some of Christ to whom and send me your kafan who are higher in verse 4 no extra motion but see agree one to pay because there are someone a fuck Christ who are who here pa to whom coming verse 4 to whom coming as unto a living stone disallowed indeed of men but chosen of God and precious. Apostle Peter in this verse and following which we are not going to look at the following verse, but at least with the following verses he had in mind two Old Testament prophecies about Christ. I cannot read them. We can read them later. Psalm 118, verse 22, and Isaiah 20, verse 16. This Old Testament prophecies speaks about the Messiah as a stone, as a rock, and as a cornerstone, and all that. So this is where he's drawing his message from. Though he did not quote it, as it may be the same, but that's where he's drawing from. So with this in mind, we'll think about this text, and I will bring about three things from the text. The first thing is, why is Christ compared to a stone? Why is he compared to a stone? Because he's comparing Christ into a stone. And also, in the verse, he tells us, people disallowed indeed of him. People reject him. So, how people generally reject the Lord Jesus Christ. And he also tells us the last part of the verse, but chosen of God and precious, that is God's approval of him. So, we look at these three things. The person actually said, verse 4, no, Peter, So these are the three things we are going to look at from this verse. So why is Christ compared to a stone? So our first part tells us, to whom coming as unto a living stone. They're coming here, those who come to Christ. So those who come to Christ, they come to Christ as a living stone. Why is this so? So here the Lord Jesus Christ compares to a stone. So this comparison is, in the summary sense, what is the sense is that what the Lord Jesus Christ is to the believer's faith. The faith of a believer stays or stands on something, and how his this stand or foundation to the believer's faith, how Christ his character and his manners, this is what he's comparing, so that the believer's faith stands on something. This is said that what a living stone. So the same, if you compare this faith on Christ like a stone to a building, especially in those times when they are normally they will build on use mostly stone materials for most of the houses, but they have other materials also. The can say, or the Christo to to mesma jedini ni jedi ejano so or the to to mesma abuon so ema daisi si daya mesma abuon ema daisi nano san or the Christo so to to hon actually say Christo said the ema ye jedi obi a waji Christo edino Christo to say abuon edemano. Answer what they BBC also are it's not painting. I'm sure today we have several materials for building. We have glass, steel, paper, I mean whatever, adding up to the old, the mud and other things. But still build houses that are built with stones are proven to be durable than any other material. Yamikan say any mere war, you may be this dying and they share and and then you might be paying any this day, but I'm going to show you how I see a the boss today. I know nature. I know the above hold that a boy any at the this day. And say and fine. And maybe in do so. Just one of them would the then if you know the sun. And you know that even oftentimes the remains that are found at excavated sites of ancient civilization were made of stone. Oko baby, I said, at it for bit now here, our brochure power, maybe a Syrian Empire, Babylonian Empire, or I mean, if you go to the old sites of these places, almost to form one, and you might bro, I find that in the Aka, I always say, Yom dear boy, Pilas, no name, Yom dear boy, and Ubacon and our home. So you see, stone, I mean, stone has that durability. So that's what Apostle Peter is trying to put in our mind. How Christ is his firmness and his eternality and his usefulness to our faith. Mesi ma Yesu Kristo oje ho pintin mesi ma oye obi a ohoda and mesi mo no oye din ojina ho man e no na ode tutu ho man e mesi ma jeji se nya sa jeji no nu mu a eda ho e man e. So now the Lord Jesus Christ is the, I mean, if you compare him to any other system or beliefs, he's the only durable foundation for faith. Only him that, it is only in him that when sinners believes, they are sure to find salvation. And salvation which never expires. Christo mupe onupe na so bonieni edi ne retro so na so jini dia. Na so genua on faith in kwajeda. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him shall never perish. sẹ́ni yàgò pọ̀ dọ̀ wíyá sí ni sọ ọdún dọ́bà báko yéṣu kristo bá yẹ sẹ́ni wà ní àwọn ọgbẹ́ jìnnà èdè nù wọ́n yìrá. So you see, those who, every sinner who rests his hope in the Lord Jesus, who come to Christ and rest in him, will never perish. So you see how firm, a hymn writer said, how firm a foundation. That also is our faith in Lord Jesus Christ. Why this is so called blessings of his atoning death on the cross of Calvary, where he poured his precious blood for sin. The blessings that come from this great work on the cross of Calvary, they are all solid. Look at justification, look at adoption, sanctification, redemption, and wisdom and glory. It's something that those that God give this is forever. They say it's Jesus Christ who walked Calvary, no shame, no jaguma, and born, you know. In Shira and I say, Neoma to me, and Yadima, yeah, the boy for no, it's a hoping thing. Say, but would you put the boy in the beam? Say, but the boy in the room, and I say, the boy in the bar, Ben Yanko Poneba, a Benjana Ben Yanko Poneba. And I'll be my Yansa, a soon Yansa, and I say, and you never will have not been my any idea better, sir. So these are solid blessings which he procured for us on the cross of Calvary. And they were called Calvary, no. And Shira or Kunyamaya, it's a hoping thing. Let a sinner be justified. Let a sinner be forgiven. It's forever. One of the Psalms says that the soul, the redemption of the soul is precious, but it ceases forever. If God saves anyone, it's forever. And where does this come from? It all depends on the Lord Jesus. It comes from His Word. And it stands forever. So that whoever comes, also it said that whoever trusts in Him will never be confounded. Near the Jedibeshe Christo Mono. So these are the terms which tells us of the solid foundation of Christ as a stone, which stands, which can never disappoint us. So we see that the only merit on which sinners are forgiven, if they come and ask Him, and He saves them, and if they throw away all hopes of salvation, say at the point about Christ on chain. No, but say when the fight is not the one channel. Not so on Bibia or then they read to so and then Bibia or the needs one or the twin channel then they read say Christo Mupia. And only Messi my tears say Christo Jina Hopin team man to say Messi me a boy, Jina Homa is dying. Messi me a boy, and Shredder, a boy, the time Munchem, a boy, Jina Hoda, the Etianet, a boy that was sad at here. Son of Christo, so Ninshura no, or the Maya no, said the Mambos or no, or Jay. And a beam, say we put a beam on Yanko Poenim. Say, Betty, I mean, any study of a man, young son, this is what Yanko Pokra, a shadow who are asked what she was there. That thing or the heaven, the mind, and Sunday. See, God calls us and He blesses us with this thing. He never changes. So that is one of the things that those who think that, well, I can be saved today and tomorrow lose my salvation. It's unfounded. That Christ is not a stone. He's still like any other material. Omo omo jise ne mi nyang kwa Christo jimi ame tu mi ashre mi kwa jieno. Omo pa jise Christo jise ada nyomo edisi da eno enche na ase. No, but Peter is telling us here, coming to Christ, we come to a living stone. We come to a solid and a sure foundation. If we rest our hopes in Christ, we have really done so. And if we have not, then we don't have any foundation for our faith. Why? Because all other hopes of all other foundations of hope. Look at some good works. I mean, I'm trying to obey the laws of God. Yensha and you might be say omo good works. And your papa me dim running to be self righteousness. Well, me I'm sure me ni pa me nya boni ni me dim me watch in here. Some of the theological knowledge be musu so well. We have church attendance, baptism, partaking of the Lord's Supper, serving the church. And Christo Genesia, All these good works, righteous, self-righteousness, theological knowledge, church attendance, baptism, partaking of the Lord's Supper, serving the church, they are all like sinking sands. I'm sure we know what sinking sands are. And this will disappoint now when storms of life attacks you. One of the things that God always does to help us if we are hypocrites is the storms of life. Yankupon, every man in past who said, as in JD or Yankupon, no, and Yanukro, but and he said, a problem how between JD or Munibina. Many people don't think of that. Well, they will go through, but it's to show that we don't, because if we trust Him, our faith will be firm. Let me tell you of a testimony of a friend. He has been struggling with that illness for over 22, 23 years. And he's a Christian brother. I know him. I mean, he used to be my Sunday school teacher then. And his testimony, I called him, I was during the week. And sometimes I called because I've been praying with him. I remember in prayer. So sometimes I called to ask him how he's faring and all that. This illness has gone, I mean, chronic. I mean, it has brought so many different illnesses on him. And just this year, sometimes he'll go off, almost like fainting off and all that. And sometimes so many things have come on him. But you know what he said? He said that he still trusts in the Lord. He knows that whatever the Lord wants for him is the best. But he has even asked the Lord that the Lord should, because sometimes he feels the pain, that he feels that the Lord should even take his life. But he never complained that the Lord has disappointed him. He said that he wished that the Lord has taken his life, but he still trusts the Lord's will for him. If I should tell the detail of the illness, I mean, so many, the pains in the stomach and bleeding, and so many. Bleeding to so many, he has done surgery several times. It can even, sometimes it makes his hair even to change how it grows. And so many different things. So many, and I think that the main cause, they were not able to diagnose for so many years, you see. And recently, I think his cousin introduced me. His cousin told him that why he's not trying to see one of the prophets to help him and all that. He laughed it, but he didn't say this. So he went to his cousin, and this so-called prophet or pastor came there. And you know, well, they were talking. He told him blah blah blah, and then the man has he considered the spiritual aspect of it. And he began to laugh. He told him that, you know, for him, he has spoken to God about his illness. And if God wants to heal him, God will heal him. Whatever God, and interesting for him, their family background, he grew up with a family that were attending spiritual church, he goes to Missouri and all that. So he had had experience with all those kind of things before. So he knows that they are faith. And he really told this so-called prophet all that he's going through for all these years and his faith in Lord Jesus Christ. So the man was quiet. He couldn't say anything about it again. Why am I saying all these things? I am talking about how he still trusts in the Lord. Despite these 23 and over years of illness, he has not seen any improvement. You see, he's still struggling with it. And recently he has some medication to help him. But he still trusts in the Lord. It takes away most of his money, but he has to buy a lot of medication. But he still trusts in the Lord. You see, he knows that the Lord has not disappointed, because the Lord has said that He orders our life for us. I'm saying this so that you realize that whatever, if we are not genuine Christians, the storms of life, when it attacks us, we become disappointed in Christ. And then become complaining people. And the greatest part is that at the day of judgment, when the wrath of God is revealed against us, then we have no ground to stand, you see. So God does, before the day of judgment comes, He let us go through pressures of life to prove if we are sincere. Our studies in James, the book of James, tells us that when we fall into diverse temptations, we should rejoice. That's what he tells us. When we fall into diverse trials, we should rejoice. Because God is proving our faith. Patience, he told us patience working. But in the end of it, or he tells us God is proving that if our faith is sincere. Why am I saying all this? Because we are talking of foundations for faith. So that if my foundation is not on Christ, the troubles of life will take me off. Why are people running to so-called prophets and so man of God? They don't have any hope. They call themselves Christians. They don't trust in Him. They don't think that Christ will let them suffer. But the Bible didn't tell us that. You see? The Ayah can say, So much Christo, the man could fall or my friend is Abrabomu, how any Abrabomu Kushia here, Omer Batuin. Now I should see a JD or Christo when you cross it. The real Batuin is so I now say, well, you're very uncle for you better know my young coupon. I asked for JD and coupon now. Now, Mama, Madame Fubini, testimony is here. And if you are, I die 10 bones to the banners, young coupon, nay, Bufushu, or she got the boy of Fonsoir. Omoa any Christian, almost or more dinner swing yano, a yoka. But before that day, Oma Abrabobo how at three, never see a jiddy of Christian. That is why these four prophets are always getting money because they know. Well, they don't know, but Satan knows that people are fake. So when they fall in trouble, they'll run to them and they will deceive them. You see? But let's think further of this foundation. All the other foundations we've spoken about, they don't provide forgiveness of sin. If I want to do good, I want to obey the law, it doesn't provide any forgiveness for my sin. All the one I'm able to do, who takes that blame? It's on you. They can say, JDA engine of sworn kindness and your Christua. And far born if I tell my end. Same me dim ran or so now, but I'm run out my good news where, and also one of a pay for you. Only Christ forgives. This thing does not even bring us to God also. It does not reconcile us to God. How can I be reconciled to this holy, the thrice holy God? How can I go to Him with all my sinfulness? Do I say I obey some of the laws? But what about those I have broken? How do I go to this God who is separated from us because of our sins? And I carry my sins and I say, I have this knowledge. I'm obeying His law. I have been baptized. I go to the Lord's Supper so the Lord should receive me. What about my sins? My sins are not washed away. Then I go to Him. So you see that all other foundations are empty. They are inefficient, deceptive, and so damning. So that if anyone should rest his or her hope in any other thing than Christ, then he is sure to be disappointed. He will damn his soul in hell. So obedi ne rea to be bia so a enye Christo. And in fast one I say, ne... And he shall now Calvary the man, you know. So she in the Moja Green and Yam, the idea of Rapsoso, nor did the Moja Nazi and Hua. A bitty humble, or Brabuemu, and then Ada, a Beati Mudano. But let's think further. The Lord just why it's not just compared to a stone, but it's a what? A living stone. So you see, it goes beyond just normal stone. Sorry. So meaning that he has life in himself. This stone is a living stone. That means Christ has life in himself. It's not a dead stone. Christ derives his life from no other. He himself has life. In John 1:4, we are told, in him was life, the life of the light of men. The air can say, Bible now can say, Christ has life in himself. And you know that by the truth of Scripture, no other being has life in himself than God. God only is the author of life, and nobody can say, I have life in myself. The angels cannot say that. Men cannot say that. Only Christ can say, I have life in himself. Remember his response to Martha. Martha told him, oh Lord, if you have been here, my brother wouldn't have died. But I know that whatever you ask of God, he'll be able to give you. And Christ told her, if you believe, okay, Christ told him, I am the resurrection and the life. Christ told him, I am God. You are telling me that, you see the difference between Martha and some of them who came to Christ to heal them, like the leper. He said that, Lord, thou canst cleanse me. And the centurion, he said that, Lord, my servant is at the point of death. Yes, speak the word. These two had their faith, they believe that he is God. Martha was still doubting about Christ. So Christ told him, I am the resurrection and the life. Do you believe this? You see, Christ is telling Martha, I am life. So those who think that Christ is less than God, they deceive themselves. Who has life but God? You see, Christ has life in himself. Our Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, he called the Father. But then for the sake of our salvation, he has to take mortal flesh. He has to take our nature so that he can die for us. To go to Calvary to shed his blood so that he can overcome sin, death, Satan, and the world for us. And yet, while he did this, people rather take that part of his work and tell us that Well, he prayed to his father. He did that. Christ said to him, I am the resurrection and the life. Who can say that if he is not God in himself? So that all that he preaches for us at Calvary to overcome sin, death, and Satan, and the world, if we only believe in him, and we put our hope in him, if we only make him the hope of our salvation, if we leave every hope in ourselves, every confidence, and everything we think that makes us somebody before God, but then rest our hope in Christ alone, call on him and ask him to save us. He will become a sure foundation for our faith, as the other text. I wouldn't want us to go through that, but let's think about him as a living stone, just that, and what he is to us. And so that he saves us, and he also gives us spiritual life here and eternal life in the world to come. So you see that he is a living stone, and he stands as such to all who come. So he saves us, he forgives our sins, and he gives us life. He has life in himself. Christo Jiyan. Or pray of your one home, or my name, who point him a yabaco, or sounds of my yamqua. Okay, I go to my other point, other part of the verse. It says that he is, we are told, disallowed indeed of men, rejected indeed of men. Why this living stone is rejected indeed of men? Okay, the first thing, how do people reject him? By rejecting his testimony as God who came into the flesh. That's the greatest and the first of all rejection. To deny that Christ ever came. I mean, God came to the flesh in the person of Christ. You know, the Jews, especially the high priests, the scribes and the Pharisees, they were the first who rejected him. And they were those who charged him with blasphemy. When he said that I and my Father are one, we are also told after the verse, that John 10:31, when he has told them that, they said that then the Jews took up stones again to stone him. He said that you are blaspheming. Why do you claim to be God? You see, the hatred against him that he claimed to be God. Look at, I'll just read to you, John chapter 5, verse 18. He had a converse with them, and here to look at the point. He said something, look at what they responded. Therefore, the Jews sought the more to kill him because he not only had broken the Sabbath, because he healed somebody on the Sabbath, but said also that God was his Father, making himself equal with God. For the Jews, the word Son of God means I'm God. The word Son of God, unlike people think that the word Son of God means how a son and a father relate. No, for them, to say the Son of God means you are God. So they understood Jesus Christ when he told them, I am the Son of God. Yes, Christo. And before, I quite remove Nipa Faso and Puno, the Dikan said Nipa, a Puno said, or a young woman bath on them. And then I can say, Jew for no, or more after Pumpen for, I try to for any Pharisee for no. Or Mona Dikan, a Puno, so I hope more bath on them. And I remember Brain or Castle and Pupon bath on them. Baby, I catch a Bible chest or kind of far was on the Somukuno. Sorry. Baby, so. Or kind of. I'm not God the Son and God the Father. It talks about the equality in nature, in perfection and whatever God is to us, as declared in the Word of God. So, this people, the Jews and this the high priest and the scribes, the Pharisees, they were happy that they crucified him. They thought that they have silenced him. This man, look at this. This person who claimed to be God, we have finished him. Remember when he was hanging, they said, well, he saved that, they let him save himself. And they were casting insults in his teeth. And even the thieves were also doing the same thing. They thought they have done that. But then, he rose up again to their shame. And they were still confounded. They were still wanting to cover up his resurrection. And then the hatred turned to his disciples, who want to preach in the resurrected Christ. See? So they hated him in that way. So it tells us that today also, those who reject the Lord Jesus Christ as their God and Savior, it's doing the same thing. People think that they know God or have the gift of the Holy Spirit without submitting to Jesus Christ as their God. It's interesting. And then if I bring my visa, well, I'm going to be young, I'm going to be young, I'm going to be young, I'm going to be But so I'm doing home as Christ, as I'm writing out to me, say Christ, your Mura, or I'm born into the woo, and you all from born in Chomo, no one who is so many uncle for the Dabby. There are many people like that. Wait, yes, God, the Holy Spirit. Well, I want to talk of at least their knowledge of, yes, well, Christ was like an, I mean, like angel, a servant, he came to die and secure our salvation, but he's less than God. So when they think of God, the Holy Spirit, but then just Christ is nothing to them. You see? Well, the God these people claim to know is not the God of the Bible, because Christ warned the Jews at the time in John 8:24. He said, I said therefore unto you that ye shall die in your sins, for if ye believe not that I am here, ye shall die in your sins. You die in your sins if you don't believe that Christ, Jesus, is God, who came to be our Savior. You die. So these people who never... So it's sad when I think of the host, people like the Jehovah's Witnesses and others who do not believe Christ as God. What are they doing? Look at the ages they have been, and then many people in this organization. How many souls they are taking to hell? Because just when they think of Jesus Christ, he's a lesser being than God. How can he save you? It's sad, eh? But then, yeah, that's what is going on. But then, the evidence in the Bible tells us that until you believe in what Christ says about God, you deceive yourself as claiming to know God. That's what the Bible tells us. Until we believe in Christ, what is said about God, it's not that nobody have seen the Father. The only begotten who is in the bosom of the Father declares him. In John chapter 1. Also, obibien who our call John and Jai. Na ebanwa wo oni ejanwa ho no na wada no edi. So that whatever Christ said about God, if we put aside that, we have no knowledge of God. All our knowledge of God is wrong. The next thing also that people make use to reject Christ is this, that the love of sin. The love of sin. In John chapter 3 verse 20, he tells us, Christ told Nicodemus, for everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. Christ himself told elsewhere, I am the light of the world. So he said that people will not come to me because they love their sin. I am the light of the world, but people live in darkness, they love the deeds of evil. You see, when people love their sin, they may claim to know Christ, but they don't know Christ. People love their sin and living. And when we talk of sin, people think of the bigger sin, maybe stealing, murdering, whatever. No, any form of sin. Let's use the Ten Commandments to measure our thinking of sin and see where we stand. So, but then many will say that, well, they have attempted to come to Christ several times with their sin, but to no avail. They have prayed severally after gospel invitation. They have bowed their head and prayed. And yet, they are still in their sins, and they are in a habitual sin. Nothing has happened to them. So as if that this promise of God that those who come to Christ, he will save, is not that true. That also. But the question to such people is that, do you love your sins? That's the question. If you say, oh, you know, Christ will say, only high, you know, nah, I'm going to pay one money. Well, my body Christ will say, yeah, can't send money be a area, me bomb pie, yes, so Jimmy Bonnie, if you want to, send me if you want to, me mobile, but on Jimmy, because it's me, me bonny, me bonny man, I make also. And I make us say, Nippa Becassa, not the Underson door, Bonniana. Are you not loving your sin? Any disobedience against God that you know, are you not loving it? Any bonny beer, and as a swaddy be a thing, and coupon, what tea, if you ask them, no. Are you struggling to come out of it? God knows it. We are 1 year, 2 months. We will be here. We see a penny as over to me. I choose one film. Not so many. Yanko point him. So, yes, sir. Almost yes, I go for Joe Muntem. But those who are settling in their sin and disobedience against God, well, they may claim to be religious or whatever. They don't know Christ. Because every form of sin is darkness. So, my question again to any of us is that, do you take time to think how sinful you are? That's another part of those who, if you are praying to God, have you taken time to think how my sins makes me exactly filthy in the eyes of God? So what nas the washer while wa bra born or born you say ah me and you buy me bonny and mammy yet tie on your meaning mean self at all your meaning what to me at the wife inside Anna. And I never could but walk or so while chance so drunk or so because one year sad and not so boy and point him to say, oh right if I'm money tell me you are joking. That's why we always speak against those who preach on radio and say, well, wait till I'm asked maybe can stand by boy radio material and if I'm born it be have the person sat down to think how filthy he is before God. Nipa no oka sa asem no. Wa tena se adwen ho se mianga me boni nti no ya mieni no me ho nti ana. You see, that is how it is. If you have never estimated your sin properly, your prayer for forgiveness will always be hypocritical. So won tena se en su su boni se de ti o nya mieni mu ha wa ho ye ti o nya mieni mu a. Eh, on pa kwa o boni mu fa boni nti o nya no, e waste. A waste. Yeah, think always, I give this example. Think of offending some, let's say, you offend, you cause an offense and you are caught into the law court. And then, you are going to plead for forgiveness. And you yourself, you go and stand before the judge. Your offense are read. And you yourself, you are not connected with the offense. How can the judge how can you even say that you are sorry for them? You don't feel any shame for your offense. Many times, if you read some of the precedents, you see that the judge will even add more years to those who seem to be careless of their offenses. And some of them, because of how they pleaded, though they have committed offense, the judge will say, well, you have pleaded, but because you did it, I will have given you this years, but I've given you lesser years. How do you go to God? Well, my pride. My ambitions in the world, that's again, that makes me not to be really concerned about spiritual things. I have kept them, and yet I want God to forgive maybe my life, maybe I lied and well, all that. But what about what you have placed in your eyes that you want to pursue in this life? That makes you not committed to God. That makes you not really concern yourself about spiritual things. Have you considered that? Have you really thought of that? Everything that opposes God, that has you are aware of, have you really considered how those things makes you filthy before God? And you know that Christ will never save a hypocrite. That's why Judas was never saved. Judas was given the gift to go and perform miracles and preach, but Judas Judas perished because he never repented of his act of stealing. Also, we are told that he had about the money of the disciple, but he was a thief. And Christ knew that Judas was a thief. Judas never, and out of his covetous character, he went to show Christ. And he was exposed, you see. And yet, Judas was among the 12. But he was a thief. So, have you also considered yourself as it is? So that the more we pray, and we are not willing to let go of any character, any attitude, any sinful habit, we are like, it's like we are undoing our prayers with our sins. Say a bomb pie, say a mobile one in Jenny, and you're facing a best I cry. I say, Empire one, I am born, your bravo, a put young pie born, so that your bomb pie there, your bravo, a cancel before God. So that is how it is. God is sincere, He's faithful, He's truthful than any one of us. And if we are genuine, we will know His forgiveness. God has promised. The next thing, the third thing about people rejecting Christ is by distrusting His power to save. Remember in Acts chapter 17, verse 32, when Apostle Paul had preached to the Athenians about the resurrection of Christ, because it was strange to them that God has sent His Son, He came to die, and because of that they should believe. Oh, look at the verse 32 says that. And when they heard of the resurrection of the dead, some mocked, and others said, we will hear the dear again of this matter. Well, I mean, how can this dead person save us? That was the idea. Athens for no poor a cancer puncher on used to win yanny. Don't move from a range him on John Munkano. I'm still be missing a church, because we're waiting if you now. I see then on Ipa, we were sorry about your bitch me again, because they made a mockery of him. So they thought that the gospel was just one of the speculative, wisdom of the philosophies of the time. How well. Knowledge, they hear it, and maybe whether it's good or not, then they take it or not, whatever. So that's how they took it. They took the gospel as just a speculation. something, well, they can just, I mean, there's no power in the gospel to save them. One time we were witnessing to a Muslim in this community, and we were stressing to him how that the blood of Christ, it's only by the blood of Christ alone that we are forgiven of our sins, and that God only cleanses us when we come to trust the blood of Christ. You know what he told us? Oh, how can the blood of one person clean the millions of people in the world? He was thinking about the physical blood of Christ. It's not interesting. Nipa or a Muslim, what Christ did on the cross of Calvary, the physical death, it was just little. But the spiritual implication, which we don't know, as the hymn writer, we don't know how much he suffered. We don't know how much pain he bore. He suffered in his soul. Only God knows. But God has promised that what he did, based on that, he forgives those who come to him. So do we believe that what God has said? Or we think of all the physical thing that happened? No. That is why it is wrong that those who put that crucifix and they hang the cross and they are thinking of Christ through that is nonsense. It's what the word has told us about Christ and how we have to put our hope in it. Not the physical act itself. Because that one, even us, this Muslim was limited by just thinking of the physical blood. But no, we think of God who has promised that based on that, he will save us. That's where the promise lies. That's where the power of salvation lies. This is what God has said. He has said that when I come to him, he will save me because Christ has died and shed his blood. I come to him, a sinner, lay my case before him. God says that he will save me. So that is it. So, some people think that salvation by Christ is a myth. It's just something that is made up. But what about you? Are you also like that? Or you are among those who have come to him? If you are like some of these people who doubt the power of Christ, your doubts could be reasonable if there was no evidence of those Christ have saved. So, who fools there, Christo? But he has saved millions. The Bible is full of them and many Christians, many who have proved the Lord. So then if you reject this by thinking how the act will be done to you, you are rather doing yourself a great harm. Because those that Christ has saved, those that he has changed their heart, they love him. They know his love, and he is above everything to them in this world. He is precious to them, and they are precious to him. Are you among these people? Is Christ precious to you? Christ and his things precious to you? And do you feel that you are precious to God? In that sense, the people think that they are precious to God because maybe their natural capabilities, what they can do to help people in the world. No, we are only precious to God if we have been purchased by the blood of Christ. It's the blood of Christ that makes us precious. Anything we see to be precious without the blood of Christ in us is worthless. So now I come to my last heading, then I'm done. That God's approval of Christ, to whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious. But chosen of God and precious. What a wonderful thing. This is added to let us know that those who choose to build their hopes of salvation on other things, churches, organizations, persons, beliefs, have really gone against what God has appointed. Because God, Christ is precious to him. Christ is the one chosen by him. And he's all that God has done for us. So that if you reject this, that's your own peril. It doesn't change what God has done eternally. God has eternally chosen Christ that through him and by him the world of sinners should reconcile to Christ. He has been made the savior of the world. He only offered a sacrifice that was able to settle our debt of sin. He also purchased the blessings that are sure for salvation. Blessings of salvation that are sure, on which a sinner can build his hope of salvation. That his hope of forgiveness will be sure. Only Christ has done that. In Acts chapter 4, verse 12, we are told neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we might be saved. If you reject Christ, you have no hope. You have no foundation that can bring you salvation. John the Baptist, seeing the Lord Jesus Christ, said, "Behold, the Lamb of God, which takes away the sin of the world." Oh, Christ, oh, but now, someone share. And two of the disciples went to follow him. John himself, he was a great man, said, "Go and follow the Savior. He, the one who died for sinners, who is coming to offer sacrifice for sinners." And God himself testified when Christ was baptized, he said that, "Thou art my beloved Son, in thee I am well pleased." The preciousness of Christ to God, we don't have time to talk about it. But then, if God is pleased with Christ and we reject whatever he's offering us, then we are rejecting what God is offering us. But my question to you is, have you also come to this living stone? Have you come to the Lord Jesus Christ? Has he saved you? Has he changed you? Have you come to him? Have you come to him? Have you yielded yourself to this living stone? Is he the one that is above everything in this world for you? Do you love him than everything in this world? That's only God. He's precious to God. If he saves us, he becomes precious to us. If you have not done that, confess your sins and ask him to also forgive you. He's ever willing to do that. That the Son of God came to save sinners, as was said, in which I am chief. Do you feel yourself like that? That, well, I am a sinner like any other. And I am a sinner among all the sinners that Christ came to save. So Christ, I come to you, just as I am. I have nothing in my hands, but naked I came, and then naked I come. I have no grace. I have no righteousness. All my good deeds will do nothing. But Christ, save me, for I'm a sinner. You come to him that way. That's why you come to him. Because Christ, the Son of God, came. He came so that when we come in sincerity, he will save us. He will save us and give us life. Life to know God. Life to live in this world meaningfully. Those who don't have the life of Christ, they are wasting their life. Because at the end of the day, whatever you live for in this world, it's worthless. See, let's come to him. We give ourselves to him. He only is the foundation that when faith rests on to be sure to the end. Let's pray.